Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today. What's going on? Welcome to this week's Williams and Bloom Quarantine Podcast here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. We come to you the evening of Memorial Day 2020. We just survived a tornado warning. I actually didn't get that bad in Bondurant, but the sirens went off.
They went off.
Enough to alarm the wives.
Right.
And as they should. That's the whole point of the sirens.
Sirens are for, but hopefully everybody in North Ankeny, Polk City.
Yeah, that looked like they were, no doubt. But, take shelter, everybody. But yeah, no, it's...
We made it through.
It's Memorial Day. Had a really nice weekend, believe it or not. I feel like this weather has really thrown the meteorologists for a loop the last couple weeks, predicting rainouts and stuff. But it does generally eventually rain, but it's usually been later in the day. We saw that this weekend, but it was a good Memorial Day weekend. It felt like summer. It felt like the most normal life has been in months for me.
I agree with that. It just, maybe it's the extra day or something, but it just felt, you get outside a little bit.
Yeah.
It just felt like people were out a little more and, I don't know, felt a little more normal.
I had a cool moment.
The Tiger Phil thing, watched a little golf.
That was fun. Good. NASCAR was good. Seems like summer to me.
Yep.
I had a cool deal. My Uncle Tom is buried out at the Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter.
Sure.
And we went out there today. He just passed away last June, so this was the first Memorial Day to have that opportunity. What a cool deal. I've been out to the Veterans Cemetery, and it's always breathtaking. But you go out there on Memorial Day.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And just hundreds of people. I had a deal with a couple of young veterans who I'm just assuming had lost a friend. And these guys were near us. They were having a beer. Super nice guys. And I took a picture for them. And it's just choked me up. To think what those people have gone through, and then, the ones who paid the ultimate sacrifice. So that's a Central Iowa deal that I did for the first time today. If you're out there, I would highly recommend. I told you, you got to get your boys out there.
Yeah, I've never been.
It's really amazing.
I went to Waukee.
Really,
and I've
cool.
driven by it, hundreds of times, but I've never been. And today really makes me reflect of, when I was that age, let's think about, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, and even, the current service members, talking 18 to 20, early 20s. When we were that age, we were worried about if anyone's going to look at us at Patty's, right? Just the courage that it would take to do that. I honestly often wonder if I was in that situation and the draft was a thing, what would I do? How would I react to that? And I'm sure you had relatives that were drafted in the service.
Oh, yeah.
So did I. And it's just the bravery, knowing what the ultimate sacrifice is, it just makes you pause and appreciate, the whole magnitude of it. And I don't know what I would do in that situation. And it just makes you appreciate it.
Really a neat deal out there, just out in Van Meter. I would encourage anybody to do that. Even it doesn't have to be Memorial Day. Just go. It's a beautiful, peaceful spot.
Right on the hill there.
It is just beautiful. Yeah. So that was a cool deal. We were looking at these young men. When we had a conversation with them, we were at the is a gorgeous monument for the War on Terror.
Okay.
Because they have different monuments for all the different...
I didn't even know that.
Well, I didn't know that was there either. And, I was explaining, my wife was like, what is that? I kind of explained to her, and it's just and those are the ones who... They're not really fighting a specific war. It's not this is Vietnam or this is World War II.
Right.
It's this ongoing.
It still is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to say that they get lost, but it's you got to remember the men and women who are constantly serving. And
that's
a big thing.
Absolutely. And what always gets me every once in a while is, I work on Iowa State's campus and the Memorial Union. In that foyer when you, it's got all the names of those that lost their lives in various wars that were Iowa State students.
Yeah.
And it just, like, if you look, a lot of times you just walk, because you walk around the Zodiac, right?
Yeah.
You don't often
unless
think about,
you're just a total
you don't get it.
Douche.
Yeah. But you think about what's actually in there and why is that there? And it, you know, look at all the names sometime when you're back on campus, and it's pretty sobering.
With that, we will have a shorter podcast this week, mainly because the Bloom children are upstairs and they need to go to bed. That's but true. We wanted to get something out for you guys here on the weekend, as we've promised to do throughout the COVID-19. We're still looking for a sponsor. This thing is reaching tens of thousands of people a week. We would, I'm serious. Like, if you're one of the few businesses out there that are actually advertising right now, we would be great spokespeople for you. I promise. I promise. If it sounds like I'm begging, I kind of am. But we, we're still, Bloom and I both really enjoy this. The audience clearly does, based off of the numbers that it gets. So really, we are looking to attach ourselves with the company for this podcast. So and we'll go throughout past COVID too.
This is week 10.
Yeah. Is it? Did you look it up?
No. Mm. It just feels about like week 10.
Yeah. We tell you what we're
he's a professional
sipping on throughout the podcast. Normally we do bourbon. We really have been sorry, I had an overflow situation. We really have been standing outside watching this tornado watch slash
and
warning.
And I took meteorology 206 at Iowa State with Professor Peters. So I felt qualified to analyze the situation.
I took that class too. I do not remember the professor.
I think it's Professor Peters. Somebody listening will correct us on that. But I had it going north, Chris, and I think that ended up being accurate. So that 3 credits paid off.
Bloom, he's got a little contradictory. What do you got there?
I got a Busch Light and a Coors Light. I mean,
behind, I just opened up a new one, and it's like half frozen.
It's the quarantine podcast for a reason.
This thing apparently is half ice.
Who are you putting your beers in the freezer for?
It's not in the freezer. It's in that garage refrigerator, for crying out loud. But I like my beer cold, man. I crank it up to a 7.
Are you going to be all right over there?
I've been drinking these corn Busch Light cans all weekend. Oh, God. And I just opened up one of these Mind Hazes from Firestone Walker, and it's apparently frozen.
So you're just nursing it, literally.
Oh, the thing. It's not very good when you have to chug it. Anyways. Yeah, so that we're taking a break from the whiskey this weekend. But that's okay. It's what Memorial Day is all. We did. We indulged. I was so proud of my friend Brent Bloom. He manned up the other night, came over to watch a dirt race with me.
I did, yeah.
And we drank some Buffalo Trace, and that stuff is fantastic.
You know, that was entertaining. So I'm not a racing person, but there's nothing else to really watch.
You're getting into it.
But I'm legitimate. It's not like lip service, just to, you know.
You watched the Coke 600.
I watched
you
all
were texting
of it.
Me like intently.
I was mad about
the Chase Elliott
pit situation. I was like, what are you doing?
Do you understand now why he pitted?
I kind of get it, but I think I still roll the dice. Like, you basically,
yeah.
It'd be like then, subbing out LeBron with a minute left because he's a bad free throw shooter. No. Like, you can't. I know there's a risk he could miss the free throws, but you got to leave him in there.
In that situation, we won't bore you guys with too much racing talk. I will say this. I've seen enough of this over the years. If he would have pitted everybody else, or if he wouldn't have pitted, everybody else would have pitted.
That's a risk I'm willing to take.
And then they would have blown by him. But I would have rather done that and at least lost in the lead then. But it was incredible. I mean, he restarted like 12th and got third. So it clearly.
But there's no way he was going to get all the way there.
He was the best car. And that's what pissed me off, like, as a Chase Elliott fan.
We need a simple man's auto racing analysis.
Hey, can I throw something out there real quick? I really want other people's opinion on this. So I'm going to have some news here in the next couple weeks. Part of the Cyclone Fanatic, like, pivot to everything that's going on right now that I know the economics of this business well enough, and I can call a spade, and we've got to do some different things. I'm going to be launching a new type of company. Okay.
Okay.
It's another media company, but it's going to be really cool. And we're going to have different entities throughout it. We're going to grow. It's very, you know me, I just can't sit still for too long.
Correct.
And Cycle and Fanatic's not going to change. This is only going to enhance it. But we are going to be launching a new racing website. I'm really not going to have anything to do with it.
Okay.
Connor Ferguson, who has been our intern for 2 years, is going to be the guy. We're looking for a name.
For the company or the website?
For the website. A right. racing website. So if anybody has recommendations.
You covering?
We're going to start hyper local and extend out from there. Even if you think that your recommendation sucks.
Lefthandturns.com.
No, not. I was telling my wife today, because my Uncle Dick and my Uncle Tom, I talked about them last year. They both died last June, and they were both veterans. And racing is very family for me. It's more of a family thing than it is a sport,
sure.
if that makes sense. It's like our, as I said at my Uncle Dick's funeral when I spoke, it is our culture. It is our identity is the Williams family. That's what we do and what we know. I actually thought about, tell me if you think this is crazy, uncledick.com. And we, because I think you could do a lot of, fun stuff with that.
Yeah,
and
you could.
And he would love that.
People might get the wrong impression early.
Yeah, because the word dick.
Right.
But it's a name. He was Uncle Dick.
I could, that's got some potential. It would take a little more education.
That's better than, racinginiowa.com.
Racingfanatic.com.
I looked at all the fanatics that were available.
That would be the obvious one.
The racefanatic.com was the best one I could find. But I don't know. Let's let Connor spread his wings a little bit. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to be tied to the word fanatic. I'm doing this. I really love Connor, and I hope he can kick ass and turn this into a job.
He's a grinder, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to give him the opportunity.
I think people have ideas out there.
And I don't think that this is ever going to be a deal where we have a ton of traffic. I don't believe that. But if you can get 1,000 racing fans to follow you, they're the most loyal people in the world, and then you can sell sponsorships.
Well, what's your website sounds like what dirtondirt.com or Dirt on Dirt magazine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
yeah, but they're doing live streaming and stuff, it's a little different than us. I think uncledick.com is awesome. I'm gonna see if it's available right now.
I bet there's an uncledick.com out there.
I asked my wife today, I was
what
like,
was
I want
Ashley's marketing idea.
She goes, you should put something at the end that ties it with racing. And I go, what? And she goes, I don't know. UncleDicksBox.com. And I was like,
oh, man.
I was like, I don't think
the t-shirts would be interesting.
Holy crap. Guess how much it would be to purchase the URL, UncleDick.com?
$700.
$2,395. No.
What is it now?
You can go do. That's it.
No, but what's the? It's, somebody just own
it's
it.
It's considered a premium domain,
right? But what is? Is it somebody have a
no,
website?
No, it
currently?
Is. It is available.
It is available.
But because of the, they say UncleDick.com is quote easy to remember.
Well,
that's why I wanted to use it because it was so easy to remember.
And it's okay. It's growing on me.
$2,395.
What it. Okay, what's an average? Because you obviously
$12 a year.
That's $2,300 a year, or
no?
So if I just wanted to
buy it up front, and then it's $17.99 a year.
Okay, but what would an average?
Uncle Dick's paddock. Let me see what that one is. That's $1.
And that just saved you $2,300 up front. That pays Connor for
Uncle Dick's paddock
at least a month.
Anyways, we're thinking about that. We're trying to evolve here.
Now's the time because there's nothing else going on.
No, like, there's not.
You got to take advantage.
And you've got to pick your spots. It's the only reason Cyclone Fanatic took off. It's because the register and nobody else covered Iowa State. That's literally the only reason we are here. Mm-hmm. It's not like me and Rob Gray and you and Jared Stansberry are these like world-class journalists.
Definitely not.
We're not. We're very average. Sorry to the other guys if you had an enhanced view, but like we all are just, we're good workers and we're average. But Iowa State fans needed somewhere to go 10 years ago. And you've got to find places that are strategic that people aren't covering. This is one of them for us. If we do it right, I think it could have some success.
I look forward to monitoring your progress.
COVID updates, Bloom.
Yeah.
The Big 12 made an announcement on Friday night.
We're moving, man.
And after the tailgate tour thing?
Yep.
Am I crazy to say I would be surprised if there's not 30,000 fans in Jack Trice Stadium?
I still don't know here because I don't know without getting into all of the details where he was pulling that from. You know, if it's a state thing, is it 50% capacity, which would make sense? You know, because it's still at the end of the day, you have to go by the state purview
here. Yeah,
but
have you been paying attention to the politicians?
No, I know. I mean, in Iowa, you'd have a better chance at 30 than elsewhere.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, I'm a pretty moderate guy, so are you. Doesn't it seem like the left is trying to make us fear for our lives and the right is trying to, I feel like the right has even pivoted to like, this is not a big deal anymore. Like there, you know, Dr. Fauci is not on TV nearly as much. Like it's the election. I've been saying this for a month, guys. It's the election
to do with it.
The left is going to try and scare the hell out of you. And the right is going to try and make you think that the economy is great and all, you know, it is, they're pandering to you way or another.
And again, I come back like I have in all these podcasts, just what's the data say? And again today, and I know it's a Monday and it's a long weekend, but the death rate was the number of deaths was the lowest it has been since March 29th, which is really good news.
It's great news.
And the rate of positivity for infection was down to like 4.2%, which is like the lowest it's been in a long time. Another really good news. However, hospitalizations in some areas have been up in the last week. So it's not like this is just a national trend. And I think you can kind of fall victim to, oh, well, New York is down, and New York is down exponentially, okay, because they've really, I mean, they were the worst, and now they're in better shape now. But,
well, that's how the virus works. It runs through you, and then
my opinion, based on, again, I try to look at the data,
News you've been watching?
Well, no, I watch everything. I don't think this thing is going away.
No.
Right? And so it's going to be like, I think we're going to be in this long, sustained plateau, so to speak, where it's, there's always going to be a level of risk, and just a matter of you personally are going to have to decide what is enough risk you're comfortable with. And if that's the case, I think we're going to move more and more to people get more comfortable. It's like, the warmer water gets, then the more comfortable you get with that warm water, and you keep going and you're turning up the heat. I think you're going to get incrementally a little bit more comfortable with getting back closer to normal. And so, Chris, I agree. Maybe that means more. It could be 30,000 fans in Jack Trice in September, and still September's 3.5 months away. So maybe I just wonder if all these places will allow that many fans. You saw Gene Smith say this week that they'll allow, you know, somewhere in the 25 to 40% of their fans, which would amount to about 30 to 40,000 people. So it has shifted a lot, right? From when we were talking,
no doubt,
3 weeks ago to no fans. So now we're thinking, okay, we could have up to 50% capacity, and we'll see. I think throughout the summer, it'll still continue to dwindle. I think coronavirus is still going to be there, but we'll see how more comfortable people get with it.
I find myself day in, day out, being more and more disgusted with the politicians in our country.
Yes. I can't figure, I mean, it shouldn't be this hard to figure out what's the real here.
All right. this is not a political issue.
It shouldn't be, but it's
a public health issue.
It completely has been politicized.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we told you on this podcast, what, 5-6 weeks ago, that college football would turn into a weapon. Right now, look at Major League Baseball right now. What a joke. And without taking a side of the owners or the players, I mean, that you're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love my Atlanta Braves, but I don't. You'll sit around. I've lived with you and watch a freaking Mariners game at 11 o'clock at night. I won't do
MLB
that.
Extra innings.
But this is, I don't know. I've lived through Trump, Hillary, you know,
yep.
The Bush years, the Obama years. I've seen a lot of polarization. I don't think I've ever been more disgusted with the leaders in our country than I am right now. I think it's repulsive on both sides.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be choosing a side on a virus, right?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We have, and we're there.
Oh, Brent, I mean, I've been pretty vocal on KXNO that I think baseball is a bunch of idiots for you would think the left coming at me. I mean, I had a nasty email I got from me from some very liberal man, apparently. I think, okay. I mean, an extreme liberal.
Sure.
Does not represent the majority at all. I mean, you would think he was calling me like a fascist because I think that baseball is dumb for not trying to figure this out to get their economy going back. And then on the other side, you know, I've gotten it from them too. Like it's just, everybody is so damn
locked into their,
oh my God.
Yeah.
It bothers me, man.
It
really bothers me. I'm sorry.
There's no way to get out of it.
I know.
But what is happening?
It turns neighbors against neighbors. It turns family members. It's horrible.
Mask issue is like perfect example.
Yeah. Great point.
That's like, you cannot get a more perfect example of America today than the mask issue.
It's a great point.
Because if you wear one side may look at you like, all right, you're soft, and that's really not needed, and you know
you're not a man if you wear a mask.
Yeah, there is honestly.
Like, I know.
Let's all be honest with each other here. There is an element to that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's an emasculine thing to do if you wear a mask.
But if you don't,
then you're a piece of garbage.
Well, then you're risking.
You want grandmas to die?
Yeah, I mean
you're a murderer.
So it's really frustrating. That like a mask, which I think all the empirical data says masks actually, I think they do help. I mean,
if we all wore masks all the time, like this thing would drop off exponentially.
Probably. I mean, but then again, you get some of the stuff where it's like, well, you know, maybe they're not all that effective anyway, and it's actually doing harm. It's like, I want to know what the truth is here. And I think you, again, it comes back to like, you get both sides in the extremes and it's just hard to figure out, but masks should not be a political issue. Like I just really don't think it should be, and if we could, but Chris, you look at the history of this, even this quarantine, you had the Surgeon General in the United States saying no masks don't do anything for this,
yeah,
and then 6 weeks later, like no, we all need to get masks. It's like if we can't even get it from the top, then how are rank and file supposed to figure this out?
That's why I said the leadership in this country has been despicable.
It's been really frustrating because there's just so many mixed messaging all the way around.
Yeah.
And
let's go to the state level. We've talked a lot about California. Go back to that podcast a couple weeks ago that we did. And now that guy, the governor he's bebopping and scatting all over the place. He doesn't know what the hell is going on.
He's like,
we're shutting everything down until 2021. Oh, wait a minute. These NFL teams are going to leave? Okay, we're going to open up pro sports here. I mean, come on.
I know. And it's...
It shouldn't... If you're that, this is what bothers me, man. And it's both sides. You can't, on the right, like you can't sit here and deny this thing
Correct.
And then ask for help when it gets bad. And then on the left, you can't sit here and make this thing World War III. And then all of a sudden you're going to get a huge economic hit. And then you're like, okay, we're going to open it up to these guys. It's hypocritical. Call it like it is, people. Think for yourself. I'm sorry. This is going to piss a lot of... I'm so mad about it, dude.
And I don't know. And here's the problem, and I can get way into the weeds here.
It's fine.
But
yeah, we're already in the weeds.
We're going to get a vaccine, I hope. Okay, hopeful. Yeah, we don't know.
At some point.
But even then, if you have a vaccine, there's going to be a portion, potentially a large portion of our country, that thinks that the vaccine is actually a negative thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so you start this whole thing over again.
So I make a point. I was actually hanging out with Dr. Matt Urban on Friday, who's been on the Chris Williams podcast with me talking about this.
He's a doctor.
He's a microbiologist, so he knows this about as well as everybody and as anybody. And where do the anti-vaxxers sit in all this? So, are they not going to do the COVID?
Probably not.
I think those people, here's a bold take, they are conspiracy theorists in their own right.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Anti-vaxxers are.
And maybe they have a logical.
No, they don't. But
I don't think they do. But again.
Sorry. They don't. There's no logic behind it.
But if you need a certain amount of people to be vaccinated in order to end this thing. And yet I saw a poll. I don't know what it was on. But it was upwards of 25% of people they polled will not take the vaccine, or 40%. I mean,
are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, this is not a small.
Why? Because is it just the far right wingers who
I don't know
are
if it's
denying
the far
it?
I don't know if it's political affiliation. There's a segment of the population that think the risk of of injecting themselves with this vaccine is worse than the potential of getting the virus. So
then we deserve it.
Well,
honestly, I'm serious. If 40% of our population thinks that, then we deserve it.
Maybe that's being high, but it was a larger number than. So
what happened in our country? You know, I'm out there watching these young men who put their lives on the line, and they're sitting there respecting their fallen brother. What happened in our country where we all are on these sides, and half the people in this country can't think for themselves anymore? What happened? Is it
has it always been that way, and now it's just
I don't know.
It's more evident because
of social media and cable TV.
Yeah.
And maybe. I don't know. I feel like the uprising of cable TV is a very line that you can draw.
And again, this is going to be a weird comparison, but just like you said about the audiences you're targeting for your marketing stuff for Fanatic and this racing company, people have profited off of segmenting the population. Because if you believe in just the message that I'm selling, you will watch my channel, or you'll read my newspaper, or you go to my website.
Mm-hmm.
CNN, MSNBC profit off of this message. Fox News and whatever the new Trump organization profit off of their message.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to change because they don't have any motive to be normal. You've seen it recently where Neil Cavuto, who's on Fox News...
Mm-hmm. He's an OG, man.
Right.
He's been there forever.
Lost his mind on the Trump taking the
hydrochloroquine.
Yeah, lost his mind. And immediately,
I didn't see that. What did he do?
Oh, great 2-minute rant on it.
On anti-Trump deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is this guy? What is he doing? I mean,
it's a valid concern based off of the science.
I was with Cavuto.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but
whatever.
So that's once, and he got major pushback from people how dare you question this on Fox News? I thought you were on our side.
Yeah, that's
from
the
president. So that, but this is one side.
That's the problem.
Okay.
The side thing.
And then you had on the left, you had Chris Hayes, who is on MSNBC.
He's loony.
You'd think so, but he had a segment on his show, and again, this is getting into the weeds a little bit. Trying to figure out if this Biden accuser, Tara Reid, I think her name is, is valid. Is she worth the time? And just a segment discussing it. And he got boycott Chris Hayes stuff.
Oh,
the
just
left.
Because the left was you even bring this up?
Correct.
Jeez.
And so, but
that's what they should be doing.
You can't have it. You cannot have, it seems like a conversation discussing both sides without
And the hypocrisy of the left on the adultery thing, you know, like.
Hey, man, but back to your point, it's just hard to figure out.
And they're right, too. They're all.
But they're making money off of their segments.
No, I know.
So it is. And until we realize what the motives are here, it's very frustrating. So how about
for the record, I feel like we should just be honest. I'm a registered Democrat. Bloom is a registered Republican. So, like, we can sit here and have this conversation and we do this all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And often than not, we're like,
we're way. Yeah.
I'm just like, so like the state of California is really pissing me off though. Like, here's the deal. You cannot put out the stuff that you're going to put out and then be like, oh, but we'll pack 80,000 into a Raiders game. Well, I guess they're not there anymore, but like the Rams.
Yeah.
You just like, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible look. And do I think they'll do that? No. But man, he flip-flopped quickly from but you can do pro sports here.
And people dunked on him really quickly.
As they should.
I mean, it's been.
And
I wish there weren't lives involved. Like, this was an actual. Like, sometimes Twitter can be fun because it's like, okay, you understand where people are going here. But this is this impacts everybody. So it's like, I wish we wouldn't just take good news or bad news to dunk on somebody else all the time.
So, like, let's say with the college football deal now, is we need to wrap this up because I'm sure Everett Bloom is tired. Have you gotten a text from your wife
yet? I haven't yet,
okay.
So we're good.
If we're fully going with enrollment, mm-hmm. like on the ground mm-hmm. this September,
yep.
Okay,
we're trending that way.
Which I feel like that's the way we're going.
Yep. You've seen now in the last week some of the schools that can control a little bit more than Iowa State can have actually shifted, open up 2 weeks early, and then
get out before Thanksgiving. If that's the case, prediction on attendance.
For Iowa State or in general?
Just in general.
I think there will be fans in attendance. I think it won't obviously be full boat because you'll still have a segment that won't want to go. I still think there'll be some control needed too. From a logistical standpoint of, I don't know if it's temperature checks or whatnot, but
that's where I'm leaning.
But trying to figure out how that works. But I think for sure, as of May 25th, people in the stadium, definitely in the premium areas, the suites, club sections, donation levels.
Like, I mean, you got to let the band and cheerleaders in. Yep. Like, I mean, they're already on campus.
Correct. Band, cheerleader, great point.
That's my point. If you're letting them on campus, it changes everything.
Those people are let in. Can you get to 30? I mean, maybe in places like Iowa, where I think other states maybe not as much, but.
Two things that bother me about the COVID deal. The temperature checks is really quite stupid. Like, I get why you do it, but like the whole point of COVID is you could have it for 14 days and not know it and not show any symptoms. Yep. So you're not really.
It's almost like a.
Yeah. It's like a plan D.
Yeah.
Like. It really, I get it. I get why you do it.
It's window dressing.
Two, I'm really getting annoyed with like my dirt races and stuff that I've been watching on TV. And the like, these guys are, I feel like there's a lot of mask wearing that is straight for the camera at this point. Like, oh, we're social distancing here.
Yeah.
Where they're like 10 feet from somebody else outdoors, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because they'll get persecuted if they don't do it that way. I get why they're doing it. But, like, I'm just looking for some common sense here. And three, I get really annoyed with the testing or with the numbers on who has this thing. Because, like, not every state is populated the same. Not every state tests the same. So, like, you can make one state look worse than another, but in reality, that state's doing better because they're testing more, right?
Correct.
Sorry. I'm done with this thing now. I'm just, right? Like, no, if you test more, you're going to find more positive people.
That's why I think here are the numbers I'm looking at. Not that I'm, you know, the smartest person around, but I've had the same thoughts as you. I'm looking at hospitalization rate.
Yep.
That's number one, and that includes the ICU usage, but more than anything, it's hospitalization rate, and then it's percentage of test positive. So New York at its peak, they were testing, and it was like 50% were positive. That means you have a substantial...
Major outbreak.
Now New York's down under 10%. Iowa today was, I don't know the exact number, like 8%. Nationally, it was 4.5%. That's better than it has been. Now, you're getting more cases, and so you can make it look scary, like, oh, you know, there's 25,000 people in this country that tested positive today. That's not good because it hasn't dropped off. But the tests are double than what they were a month ago. And so you're going to get more people. But I think the things that matter most, hospitalizations, ICUs, and then obviously 3 weeks later is the death rate. Like, those are the best raw measurements to know what exactly we're talking about here.
Well, the clone's got Jalen Coleman.
How about JCL?
He's going to come on the podcast this week.
I like that pickup.
Oh, I love it.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot, too. Our premium subscribers will be getting a new insider update here in the next couple days. I didn't do one on Memorial Day. I hope you guys understand.
Two spots open now?
Two spots. There's a lot of moving parts with these draft guys. We saw a young man from Indiana pull out of the draft and become a grad transfer last week. Hint, hint. And there are going to be a lot more guys.
Well, there's
or a handful more guys, not a lot.
Well, there was 100+ that declared for the draft.
And those guys this year, like, they can't, there's no Portsmouth invite. There's nothing like that. And then there's no NBA Summer League in Vegas where you can, like, earn your way a spot. Like, it's a bad year to be rolling the dice with the draft.
Correct. So I think you'll see more pull back, and then it's a free-for-all. Or they just go back to their own school.
We'll have a lot more on Jalen Coleman-Lance from DePaul throughout the week. Go catch up. Jared Sansbury caught up with him on Saturday.
It's a really good interview.
Yeah. Check that out. He will be on a podcast with me later this week. I've already spoken to the young man, and he's committed to it. We got to go, though. The Bloom boys need to get home. We have a somewhat short podcast. Sorry. I hope we didn't get... I don't think we were even that political. I think we were just talking common sense here.
Am I wrong? It will probably be perceived one way or the other, which is everyone's right.
Everyone is right. No, that's wrong.
I think common sense, regardless of political affiliation, is more needed now than ever.
Thank you.
We've always joked we're going to start our own party.
What are we going to call it? You can say it.
I don't even remember what it would be.
You always have called it the Don't Be a Dumbass Party. You've been saying that for like 12, 13 years.
I'm gonna
start my own party, the Don't Be a Dumbass Party.
I think we could start a movement here.
Oh,
feel free to join.
Memorial Day.
Right.
I hope you had a good Memorial Day with your family and your friends. And hopefully you get that perspective like I did today of what it's all about.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, everybody. Have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening to the weekly quarantine podcast.